my name is Jennifer Marsman, and we are coming to you live from Build 2016. And I'm here with Pete Brown.
Hello.
And Pete Brown is all about the IoT. Now, we've been talking about IoT here at Build, and one thing that I think may be confusing to some people is that there's kind of a Windows IoT offering as well as an Azure IoT offering.
Right.
What is the difference, Pete?
It's interesting because if you talk to different people inside Microsoft, they're like, we own IoT. And I'm like, okay, which part of IoT do you own?
Right.
So we have a version of Windows, which is designed specifically for small devices, called Windows 10 IoT Core. And that all comes out of Windows engineering. And it's really about what you do on a client device there. It's, you know, it has all the right things so you can have access to, you know, the GPIO pins and serial communications and all the things you do for what we would used to call embedded computing before IoT was cool, right?
All right.
Then we have the Azure side, which if you want to have the I in IoT, you really kind of need something in the cloud to take, you know, ingest all this information from all these different devices and be able to do something intelligent with it. And so Azure IoT provides that endpoint for you to connect your devices to send all of this data up, and then exposes that to the rest of what's in Azure for machine learning, for being able to do predictive analytics, for being able to do all sorts of cool things that you can do in the cloud, but that you can't do with just a single device on the client.
Awesome. Right? So to make sure I understand, it sounds like the Windows IoT Core is what actually gets put on the device, a little mini operating system that gets put actually on your device, and then you're able to send that up to Azure. And then with Azure IoT, we have a whole bunch of services that includes, you know, stream analytics and data aggregation and machine learning and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so all the great stuff that Scott Guthrie talked about this morning in the keynote is all, you know, all the things that we could do in the cloud. Now, what's really interesting about this is all the things that we've done with Azure before, they don't really care where the data comes from, right? The fact that we can just have that one endpoint, which is designed to scale to millions of devices, being able to input this stuff into Azure, means that's your sole point of contact with IoT on the client. And everything else past that is just standard Azure work. You just have all, you have a million streams of data as opposed to like 100 streams of data or something like that.
Yeah, that's nice.
And what I also like about Windows IoT Core, so that really is Windows 10, and it's running on these tiny devices. If you think about the work that we had to do to make something like Windows 10 run on a $35 Raspberry Pi, that's an amazing amount of work that team did to make that run really efficiently.
Beautiful engineering. I agree. So how are customers and real people using this technology right now?
Right. So one thing that we see, of course, is makers. Like, they're interested in this. They tend to focus more on the client side and less on the Azure side. But we're also getting a lot more of information, or excuse me, a lot more interest from students in colleges that are attracted to the use of Raspberry Pi, the ease of programming with Windows, all the free tools, the free operating system, and then being able to use that data and do their machine learning or do other work in the cloud. For example, one of the things we showed this morning at Gook's keynote is 13-year-old students, 8th graders, built this device that's going to go up into space. And I got a chance to look at it, and it's got a Minoboard Max inside running Windows 10 IoT Core.
Okay.
It also has a BeagleBone Black inside it, which is another board like the Raspberry Pi, if you will. And that's connected to a special type of what do they call them? Capes, excuse me.
Okay.
A special kind of cape that's made specifically to talk to the Lego Mindstorm sensors.
Okay.
Right? So they've integrated, and then they have the two of them connected together so the Minoboard Max can control what's going on there. So they have like this two-brain solution inside this experiment that's going up into space where they get to play with Lego, they get to play with Mindstorm sensors, and they can use stuff on Windows 10 IoT Core, write their code in C# and not have to really think about it. Right?
That's very
cool. Super, super fun solution.
Yeah.
And of course, in industry,
Before we do that, what is it actually testing in space? So when that goes up, what is it trying to measure? Is it trying to measure something in zero gravity?
Or? Yeah, it's something to do with, and this is where I fall down, they're measuring some kind of motion or impacts or something like that, where they've got a small, like, this is a small container. They have a small plastic container inside with, like, different bits of stuff.
Okay.
And either in microgravity or in, like, I guess it's not really zero gravity in space, right?
Yeah.
In that kind of microgravity situation, they're just analyzing what happens to those different pieces up
there.
There's probably a lot more to it that they're doing, but that's the level at which I understand the experiment.
Yeah, well, that's still very, very cool work for 8th graders.
Yeah.
Very impressive, right?
And they were great on stage this morning.
They
I thought
were.
Was great.
They were adorable. No, they were so good.
And then the other thing that we are seeing is, like, oil and gas and companies that have had these really expensive sensor packs that go out on like oil wells,
right,
where it's really expensive to find out that your oil well, like some part broke down on it,
yes,
and then you have to emergency order the part and send somebody mm-hmm. out and all that. Mm-hmm. And that just, nobody wants to wear a pager like we used to in the 90s
yes.
and deal with that kind of crap. So being able to have a really cheap device out there, like these hardened devices they have on these wells cost like thousands and thousands of dollars.
Okay.
And when we were talking to them, they're like, yeah, we can buy like a ton of Raspberry Pis and just replace them when they break down. It's cheaper for us to do that and connect the sensors to it than to buy these customized solutions that
yeah.
are, like I said, like thousands, like tens of thousands of dollars in many cases that sit on these. And then they can use the power of machine learning in the cloud to do predictive maintenance on these, so they can know based on all the sensor input they've gotten from all of these different wells that this particular well is showing the same kind of indication that a well would show if certain part is going to break in four
right.
weeks, and they can send somebody out to replace that.
Yeah.
So really, really cool stuff.
That is really, really cool stuff. And I saw when Cameron Skinner was up on stage during the keynote today,
mm-hmm.
he showed kind of the Azure IoT and how it kind of came with those two prepackaged solutions,
yes.
one around remote monitoring
yep.
and one around predictive maintenance, which is exactly
yes.
what you're talking
yes.
about now. So that's really cool to be able to get up and running with that
yeah.
very, very quickly.
Azure IoT suite is really kind of coming on its own now. Like, we used to do some things with event hubs, and then we started getting into Azure with or more into the IoT side with IoT hubs,
mm-hmm.
and now having the full suite with the pre-configured applications is a huge time saver.
That
for
is
people.
Really, really yeah. nice.
Because you don't have to have you know, data scientists on staff,
yeah.
right? And so
yeah.
buying that package solution is a big deal.
That is very cool. I agree. Now, I'm from the Detroit area, and for us, we are all about the connected cars.
Yes.
Like, that is
yes.
huge. That is
yep.
huge. So is there any work being done from Microsoft's side in the connected car space around IoT and cars sending their
yeah.
information up?
So in the keynote, was it this morning? Yes.
yes.
We showed BMW.
Yeah.
And they actually have a car down on the floor. I haven't had a chance to try it out yet. Mm-hmm. I want to get in there and mess around with that. More than just connected car, it's about your car being part of the whole experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the BMW video this morning really kind of illustrated that, where, you know, your car is another device.
Yeah.
Right? And instead of just thinking, you know, I want to build this technology that's just for my car, it's more about,
mm-hmm.
you know, the continuous experience from your home to your car to your phone
mm-hmm.
to back to your office, back to home,
yeah.
where the information follows you, the people can, like, tell where you are and contact you in all
yeah.
these places. They all know about each other, so your car knows that it's going to take X number of minutes to get to the place, given this, if you don't speed, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
You don't get to race the, you always want to race the GPS, right? See if you can beat the time that's on it. But so the car can understand all that stuff and notify the office that you're going to be in a little bit later. And you get into the office and it knows things about your car. Like, it can go and make sure that your car gets maintenance or something like that. And you don't have to think about it because, again, these things are all connected together. And I'm thinking sort of small about that. The BMW folks obviously have, like, grandiose visions there.
Yeah.
But we're seeing similar things from other car companies too, so it's not just that. We're really involved on the cloud side,
mm-hmm.
and then we're involved on, you know, what is the story about the devices that are in the car? Like, is it a bring your own device, or is it really the car has the logic built into it?
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, we're working with a lot of companies
yeah.
on that.
Yeah. And I think different automotive manufacturers are doing it different ways.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's very, very interesting to see how yeah. it all plays out. I agree. And when we are talking about the Internet of Things, so my favorite thing in mm-hmm. the Internet of Things is actually the refrigerator. Pete,
yes.
I really want an intelligent refrigerator. Does this exist yet?
Yes.
So here's what I'm envisioning,
yep.
right? I'm a working mom, and sometimes it's 5 o'clock and it's like, oh my gosh, I got to get dinner together, you know, right now.
Uh-huh.
And so the idea of just having food and just, you know, the same way we scan the food when we check
yep,
it out
yep.
at the grocery store, being
yep.
able to scan it as you put it in the refrigerator, then my refrigerator knows all the time
sure.
you know, what food is in it, knows the inventory. It should be able to suggest recipes for me when it's 5 o'clock and I'm like, okay, tell me what I can make with the food that's currently in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then things like, you know, using some machine learning and figuring out, you know, I buy like 4 gallons of milk a week
yeah,
or something
yeah,
ridiculous
yeah.
like that because my kids all drink
and
a
my
ton
kids
of milk.
Will never eat this recipe.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And so things like that would be so awesome. When's that going to happen? When can I buy that?
I don't know. You know, we're getting there very quickly.
Okay.
But there's like this psychological thing that consumers have to get past. We're like,
mm-hmm.
why do I want intelligence in my fridge and my kitchen?
Oh,
oh, it's just going to make things more complicated, right?
Oh, I want it so bad.
And if you think about that, the kind of the working mom segment, I don't want to single that out, but since you brought
mm-hmm.
it, the
yeah.
working mom segment is one that tends to be very much the slower uptake on things that appear to complicate life in the kitchen. So as software developers, we need to make that experience much easier. Like, it shouldn't require you to do all this extra stuff to mm-hmm. meet the experience you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It should just happen.
Yeah. Right?
And until we get to that, let's make it just happen, then I don't think we're going to see that kind of uptake, especially in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But I want to see the intelligent fridge connected to the intelligent stove, so you don't have to even cook the thing. Just get a little conveyor belt there and just send the stuff in and be done.
Yeah.
But I guess that's called like a housekeeper or
right,
like
right. That does sound like something. That's Rosie, I think,
Rosie,
from the Jetsons.
Yes, exactly.
But it seems like the main thing, when you're talking about like extra work you'd have to do, the main thing is just some way of getting, having the fridge be able to keep track of
yes.
what inventory it currently has.
Yeah.
So whether that's scanning like the grocery store, if that's the extra step, like I can see that adding work. But if there was some way to just set it in there
right.
and have it pick it up, that would be awesome.
And what kind of stuff enables that? Like, The things that we're doing with object identification
mm-hmm.
in the cloud is what enables that. You're not going to scan an apple.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
yeah.
it needs to identify this is an apple.
Right.
Right.
And I don't want to add like extra RFID tags or anything
else to
my food either. It has to just happen. It has to be automatic.
Each piece of broccoli has a little RFID. No, that's not going to happen. Right? So
no.
then everybody converts over to boxed food because
right.
it's got the
there
tag on it.
It's got
right?
the tag, right.
No, so the object identification stuff, and you'll see some of this in, we just renamed it, but it was Project Oxford .AI.
Yeah.
Where it has the ability to say, that's a dog, that's a, you're
right.
probably not going to have a dog in your fridge,
yeah.
but that's, you know, that's an
that's
apple,
an apple,
that's a banana, that,
yeah.
those types of things.
Right.
That, like scanning as you put it in there, that's essential.
Yes.
Right? So that indicates that you need not just local logic, but you need
yes.
a cloud-connected fridge that's able to take advantage of machine learning. And again, not just from your fridge.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you may have never bought a guava before, right?
Mm-hmm.
But all these other people did, right? So in order to identify that, it's got to take advantage of learning from all of those.
Look at the aggregate.
I've got a guava, right?
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Great ideas. And that object recognition API that Pete mentioned is available at microsoft.com/cognitive.
Thank you. That's
yes.
the, I
yes,
forgot
that's
what we renamed
thing.
It
yeah,
to.
It's
yeah,
that, yeah. yeah, it's the cognitive, the Microsoft Cognitive Services. And there's 22 different APIs that let you do not only object recognition, but also things like facial detection,
mm-hmm.
facial recognition, just like whole emotion APIs, identifying age and gender and all kinds of fun stuff. So there's a lot of great services there that can really create an amazing amazing experience.
And that's a great example of what you can do on the client versus what you can do in the cloud. So Windows 10 includes face detection. So even on IoT devices, we could say that's a face,
mm-hmm.
but you need to use the cognitive APIs to say that's Jennifer's face, right?
Right.
That's Pete's face.
Right.
And we've shown examples of how to do that on little robots. Like, I built a little mm-hmm. robot for another hackathon that will always look at you by trying to center your face in the camera.
Oh, fun,
right?
yeah.
But then once we connect it to Project Oxford, to the cognitive stuff.
Right? Cognitive services,
I'm never going to get this out of my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
It would shoot a missile at like whoever the right target was. It was a phone missile. Like,
yeah.
So it's okay.
Yeah.
So you can make use all that and even on the tiniest devices.
That is so cool. Cool. That is so cool. All right. So if we wanted to do more with IoT, how do we get started,
yes.
Pete?
So there are tons of places you can go. But if you want to do the labs that we're doing here at Build, if you go to aka.ms/WAC Code Labs, all one word, right?
Okay.
You'll get the labs here. And we're doing Windows 10 IoT Core on a Raspberry Pi 3. Also works on a Raspberry Pi 2.
All right.
And then we're also doing IoT Hubs. Right, we're not doing the full IoT suite because we want to just get people connected up and figure out how to get the data up to the cloud.
Sure.
But you can run through those labs yourself. And if you don't have a Raspberry Pi or don't want to get a device, we also have a module which lets you simulate data using a Windows app on the client and also does all the same stuff in the cloud. So there's no excuse at this point to not get involved in that.
No, awesome. Well, that sounds so cool and so much fun. Thank you so
Great.
Much for your time,
Thank
Pete.
You,
and
Jennifer.
If people want to follow you and keep in touch with
sure.
what's going on with IoT at Microsoft, you're on Twitter, aren't you?
Yes, it's at Pete_Brown.
Pete_Brown.
Yes,
All right. Thank you so much, Pete.
Thanks.